Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If there's one SEC player you just can't figure out, give it a few weeks. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. And we are here talking college football, and it's spring practice hither and yon all around the ACC, SEC, college football. And if it's not yet, it's about to be. So if there's one SEC player you just can't figure out, well, give it a few weeks. Give it a few weeks until April 13th. Give it a few weeks until April 13th, and then two more days after that. And I think that if you're like me, and to some extent, you look at current Alabama scholarship quarterback and former five-star recruit Ty Simpson, and you go, I can't figure it out. You will be able to figure it out soon. If you don't know Ty Simpson's background, he came out of the state of Tennessee. His dad's a head coach at UT Martin, and he's a five-star quarterback who's not – the Skyhawks just don't – I mean, it's a special experience. And so for Rick Stockstill's kid, okay, maybe. Not for – I want to say – I'm going to guess. If I get this wrong, I apologize. Maybe his dad is Rick Martin. Rick Simpson, maybe. But Ty is a five-star recruit. And he went where five stars go, which is Alabama, and programs that ilk. And played a whole lot. In fact, his most high-profile outing was just that awful disaster yonder in Tampa. And they won, but everybody looked bad doing it, including Saban. And, I mean, I remember at the time going, folks, we're being real unfair for looking at – do you know how many 72-year-olds look like Nick Saban in Tampa every afternoon at about 4:15? Set your watch, folks. In the state of Florida, it's going to rain. Heath, is this church? Every day, state of Florida, you're going to get about a 10-minute rain, just enough to make everything miserable, right?
Pretty good bet around 4:30 to 5, yep.
And then it stops, but the steam starts. And so whatever. And so Saban looked like a 72-year-old who packed the wrong gear. He got caught in the parking lot at the mall. So he looked really, really exhausted and tired. And he was exhausted and tired, but they won a ball game. But Ty Simpson's, you know, he left DNA. He left evidence. And it wasn't good. And so we looked at Ty Simpson and it's like, well, he and Buckner, we realized afterwards that was, you always take care of your team and you're going to win the game. That was a motivational thing based around Jalen Milroe. So even his most extensive, or I say maybe high-profile game time, it was used correctly, deftly. It was used to motivate the third guy that day who didn't play, Jalen Milroe. And so that's been Ty Simpson's experience. And by the way, it's been a pretty good experience. He's been at Alabama now for 2 years. He is a rising redshirt sophomore for the season, for the coming season. And he's still at Alabama. Now, when I'm saying if there's one SEC player you just can't figure out, Ty Simpson is, he's just the Dr. Frankenstein's lab of, all right, and I created a transfer quarterback, and here he is, and everything about him. And if you can't figure out why he hadn't transferred yet, because everything says he should have, I believe he's got a plan. This is Chuck's opinion at this point. I believe he has a plan. And I believe that plan is to really compete in spring, which apparently with the new coaching staff, they look at him and go, you're looking good. Compete and get as much time or tape or game, or I'm going to fight to the death. And so I get one more rep in the game. And so whatever it is to ply my wares after spring, and then the portal opens. Alabama, they play their spring game on maybe the 13th. So the portal opens a couple days after that. And Ty Simpson's plan, I think, is to really bust out, give it a go. Not win the quarterback job in spring and then portal out. You can't imagine that he's going to invest 3 full years with all of the backdrop of everything going on with the quarterback depth chart at Alabama. And not just the quarterback depth chart, but just his general existence. Like, this is the level of strategy, planning, etc., that could be at place. And by the way, this is not scheming. This is planning. That's different. There was a NBA player back in the day, and I'll invite Heath if he can remember the details to jump in, but he doesn't have to. Carlos Boozer back in the day, there was something along the lines where he swore to his NBA player, like he swore, look, if you release me, all you got to do is release me, then we can sign a long-term thing together and it'll be awesome. Well, the team released him. He's like, yeah, I'm going to sign with this other squad. He just bolted because he could. Marcus Stroman had something with the Mets, which it was the stinking Mets, and so I thought that was funny. There are times you look in pro sports or college and you're like, yeah, he schemed. Jimbo, I don't know if I would say schemed, but I think the final half of the, what was it, the 17 season, I think he was kind of scheming to get out of town. This is not scheming. This is Ty Simpson saying, well, I've been here 3 years going on, and so I'm going to use the opportunity right now and try to beat out Jalen Milroe. And try to impress the new coaching staff. I'm going to try to do all this stuff. And he will, legitimately. And then when Jalen Milroe was still the starter at the end of spring, he will have used that experience in that stage, et cetera. That's the difference. That's the big, giant change right here. Is we have become so used to this that it's gone from scheming to simply planning. Joey Gatewood, this big old giant recruit at quarterback that Gus had gotten, and actually looked kind of interesting for what he could do. I believe he turned into a tight end, and I want to say maybe for Gus at UCF. By the way, I'm going to say I'm almost positive he played tight end for Gus at UCF. He may still be there. He may be on another school. I don't know. I used to, and I would have, but I don't know anymore. So Joey Gatewood was at Auburn, and he lost the quarterback job, and he was like, all right, I'm going to stick around enough to be featured in the package that Gus – now, this is what we can kind of look at later. And he ran the ball some, and he played some, and then when it was time to get on out of there, he's like, out, because I got to take some visits right now so that in January it will be an informed stop. Now, it wasn't so informed because I want to say he went to Kentucky and it didn't work out there. But he had his visit. Like, he was in an Auburn uniform on a Saturday night. It might have been the following weekend he's in Kentucky on the field, like, looking around going, hey, this is pretty nice. And so from there, might have been a Louisville thing, might have been UCF.
Yeah, he Chuck, managed to do the Auburn, Kentucky, UCF, Louisville college career. That's not one you see every day.
Okay, so he is like, you know, those guys back in the 40s with the trunk and the stickers all over it. Okay. And God bless Joey Gatewood. That we looked at that And that was the first one that I remember thinking, the kid's just being practical. Now, the reason I bring up Ty Simpson, because, I mean, spin the wheel, it lands on 100 of these. This is just a kid today, and I assume, you know, this is not his father and, you know, he and his mom walking out of the woods in their Nell after 30 years. That's not, his dad's a football coach in college. He understands what all of this is. There are times when the exact same behavior, or I want to say at least type of behavior, the exact same behavior, looking at the NCAA rule book, looking at the calendar, looking at the ability to transfer, look at all of this stuff. There are times when we look at the exact same scenario playing out, and the only thing that has changed is we have peeled a couple of days off the calendar, and our view is completely different. An Alabama quarterback that I'm telling you in advance is using spring practice and every rep he gets from a kid who may be there in the fall and actually help the team. And Ty Simpson is scooping all of these up. He's a snap vampire, just sucking them all up. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, he's strategizing. He's planning. By my estimation, my opinion is he's saying, I'm going to give it an honest go and hope to beat Jalen. And then when he doesn't, he'll use that platform and that last final stage in the 8A game to transfer. And I'm looking at it and go, yep, makes sense. If we go back in time to the beginning of the 2016 season, do we remember all the flack press, attention, finger-pointing Blake Barnett, and I want to say his daddy, got when they had found in the NCAA rule book, no, it's not a season, it's a year. It's not a football season. It's a calendar. It's 12 months that I owe you. And following Blake's appearance in week 3 versus Kent State, 4 of 7 for 55 yards, he, and again, I heard it was Blake and his father that they figured out the loophole. That's the first one I ever heard use it. And he was said, Barnett out. And so he transferred to Arizona State, and he was eligible the next season and played. And then did it again, transferred down to South Florida, and he might have been a graduate by that point, but he had been a five-star quarterback recruit, and things weren't working out for him. And you know what happened? He looked at the rule book. His dad didn't go to the convention and, like, vote on things. They didn't have a lobbyist trying to pass stuff through. Blake Barnett and his dad, just a few years back, did the exact same thing. And we looked, schemer, loophole. I'm telling you in advance, Ty Simpson's doing, I'm going, all right, thumbs up, kid, good for you. These are the times that we live in, folks. All right, we're going to take a quick break, jump into it next.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Monday on Chuck Oliver Show, we're going to talk college football. In particular, I'm going to give you the guess, but we're going to talk Mizzou. We'll talk Hogs. We'll talk Auburn. Callum McAndrew. I want to get this right. Is he Scottish?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Yeah, Scottish. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I mean, you call a Marine an Army man and, you know, you got an issue. Trey Biddy's going to be here from Hog Sports. It's his deal there at 247, so he knows what it is. And then Justin Ferguson, somebody I always like catching up with. Good stuff, AuburnObserver.com. All right, nerd alert. It's not a humble brag. This is not even a brag. It's just what it is. I collected baseball cards. I still do, but I collected baseball cards big time growing up. And almost every kid that collected baseball cards, you would start in like second grade, and then you go through about ninth grade, and then you get a car, and you're like, that's better than baseball cards. So because of that and being able to remember all the cards, the Immaculate Grid for baseball, that's kind of, I can get 9 right answers every single day. Because I can just think back to seeing different guys on different baseball cards. I can get 9 right answers virtually every single day. If there's ever like an immaculate grid for college football, I think you can just start like pumping in just random names and maybe get it right. You talk about all the connected stories and different schools and everything else. I just talked about a former Alabama quarterback who had transferred at one point to Arizona State, who then wound up at South Florida, which was the most extensive playing time for Notre Dame transfer Tyler Buckner and current Bama quarterback Ty Simpson. A former Arizona State and Notre Dame quarterback not named any of those is on the move again to his third school. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. There's an immaculate grid coming for college football. Just start putting in names. Maybe the guy was at all three schools. Former Arizona State and Notre Dame quarterback Drew Pine. Do y'all remember him? Because it's not enough for Tyler Buckner to be former Notre Dame and Alabama quarterback Tyler Buckner. He's former quarterback Tyler Buckner. He's now playing lacrosse on scholarship somewhere. Hey, where's Tyler Buckner playing lacrosse? Do you know?
Back to Notre Dame.
Oh, at Notre Dame? Really? At Notre Dame? Okay. So, but not as a quarterback anymore, which, I don't know. Let's talk about things that seem pretty cool to do. Shortstop for the Yankees, quarterback for the Cowboys, center for the Lakers. You know, walking around campus at Notre Dame with a single-digit jersey on. That seems pretty cool. Well, he's playing lacrosse. So, former Arizona State Notre Dame quarterback Drew Pine, the other one, he has now transferred to Missouri. He was on a trip to Como this weekend. It's the only place he visited. He's going to enroll after spring. He should have 3 years of eligibility remaining. From the beginning, Missouri stood out, and I don't know if he looked at the back of the guitar to make sure he said Charlotte instead of Birmingham. But that's kind of what feeling I got. Because I heard, who was the final McCaffrey kid? Was that Luke? Who, I'm transferring and Louisville's my home. 24 hours later, the head coach is going, anybody seen Luke? Like, he tipped. He stayed for a practice and was like, nah, not working for me. 2 days before, from the beginning, Louisville stood out. So, I don't put any of those comments, of course, on Drew Pine. I just comment that this is where we live, that these are not the days of looking at, and I'm trying to remember, and it is not worth even the Google search, but it was Barnett, and I want to say the story was his father had just looked at the rule book. They didn't print the rule book. They didn't lobby for it. They didn't vote. They didn't do anything. They were handed a rule book and said, look at this. Schemer. And now Drew Pine is on his way to Missouri. I guess because he says from the beginning, Missouri stood out. I guess from the beginning of his current transfer, because it couldn't be from the beginning of his recruitment because he chose Notre Dame and then he chose Arizona State. So now from this beginning, Missouri stands out and that's where he'll be. And he thinks that he's going to watch Brady Cook play. And then he will have a couple of opportunities to be the starting quarterback. He and Cook apparently are boys from the Manning thing. So I don't know if he's been recruiting him or hitting him up on his two-way or whatever, but Drew Pine is now a Missouri Tiger. Heath, how's that Monday?
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting for a couple of reasons, Chuck, what happened there. Because, one, in the case of Pine, you've got 3 years of eligibility. So, okay, even if you're conceding, hey, this year you probably don't play unless something happens to Cook. Cook has had injury issues and played through them, so you never know. It wouldn't shock if Pine got on the field at some point this year. But also, you've still got Sam Horn with 3 years of eligibility.
Injury thing, man. Yeah.
And so you wonder, what does Pine know about the significance of that injury?
Yep.
And either way, it feels like come 2025 spring, it's a loser-leaves-town match, basically, between those two guys, assuming Horn is healthy enough to be a legit contender, that one of those two guys is going to have to go and find his bliss somewhere else. So it's possible you might have Pine on four schools in 4 years in that scenario. We'll see whether or not it plays out that way. Did you by any wild chance, Chuck, see South Carolina LSU women's basketball yesterday.
Yeah, the arm bar and the hip toss and
I don't want to get into women's basketball because this is obviously a college football show. What I did want to say, though, was I want to express some appreciation for the announcers and the officials that we have in college football. Because yesterday, everyone involved in that saga, and a quick summary if you have not watched women's basketball, don't choose to. You had a situation late in the game. LSU player has intentionally fouled a South Carolina player. South Carolina player says something. A couple minutes left in the game. It's kind of getting to the point where South Carolina is going to win. She says something. LSU player kind of gives her an arm bar to the neck. And then South Carolina's 6'7 center comes in and shoves the person that did that to the ground.
She's there to regulate.
Yeah, so you have physical conflict. You have a person getting shoved to the court, and it's ugly. We managed in that to have the delay alone to figure out what happened take around 15 minutes. You had officiating that had allowed it to get to the point where that could happen to begin with. And we had announcers for ESPN who had nothing to say for long stretches, no clue what was going on, then falsely said on the air, all players from both teams, both of whom are expected to be very high seeds in the tournament, all players from both teams that had left the benches would be suspended for the first game. That wasn't accurate, and it wasn't no one would know that. If you know the rule, which presumably you should, if you're the top college announcing team for ESPN on women's basketball, you should know that rule.
Now, hang on, Heath, I have to say, they would be correct if the players played for the Spurs and the Knicks.
Yeah, but
they would have been correct.
The only player that was going to be suspended for the next game was South Carolina's center because she had shoved someone, and so she got tossed for physically doing something, whereas the other players just got tossed for leaving the bench. I mean, it just all the way around, Chuck. Again, this was one of the most high-profile matchups of the year.
Number one team.
And with the number one crew for ESPN, basically, on the game. And everybody involved, officiating and especially announcing, was so bad. We've all been there, Chuck. You know how it is. On a Saturday, you got a crew on ESPNU that's working with, like, six cameras and doesn't have a rules analyst and probably doesn't have a sideline reporter. And maybe they're not their best. It's easy to be snarky. Appreciate them. Because they were better. That crew you're talking about on a random game on ESPNU is still better than what you got yesterday as a featured product on one of the biggest games in the country. I could not believe how bad that was. So I just wanted to say thank you to the officials and announcers of college football who successfully get things right most of the time.
Yeah, and it will have ramifications for the tournament going forward. The SEC's ladies tournament wrapped up yesterday, and so that's what they're dealing with going forward. His biggest story, one of the biggest stories in college basketball yesterday was, the very end of the game and then what happened afterwards. That's too bad.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Well, that worked. Chuck Allen Show on a Monday, and what I'm talking about is, hey, Eli, why don't you hire somebody to call plays and, like, really give them the keys? Well, that worked. If we get in the DeLorean and go back a year ago, Missouri's coming off a season when they were 10th in the SEC in scoring. And I'm just talking conference stuff here, just to make it as apples to apples as possible. 10th in the conference in scoring, 11th in yards per game. And by the way, I mean, the rules of football, like, and the way we play in modern times with face masks and things, you're kind of supposed to have more than 360 yards a game just by showing up a lot of Saturdays. Boy, did the change on the sidelines really pay dividends. We're going to start there because that kind of is intact a little bit. Want to welcome on right now from the Columbia Daily Tribune. It's the Mizzou beat guy. We love his company. It's Callum McAndrew. Callum, welcome back, friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chuck. How are you?
Doing good. It's spring practice. We have new business. But tell me, why did the new arrangement with Eli and Kirby Moore and all, why were the returns, they had good players, but they had good players before. Why did it work so well in your in 2023?
Well, I think it will go down. Hiring Kirby Moore to call the offensive plays will go down as one of the best decisions in Eli's tenure at Missouri. You know, it took a lot off of his play as the play caller. It allowed him to get out of the areas of the offense that he maybe wasn't getting to before. And Kirby just brought in a scheme that worked for the players that they have. Look, you can't ignore the individual talent and the individual stories that they had last season. Look no further than the likes of Cody Schrader for that. But really just a system that worked for Brady Cook, the quarterback, a system that worked for Luther Burden and the slot receiver. They brought in and they substantiated that with some really great additions out of the portal along the line and Theo Weese at the X wide receiver position. What an improvement from the year before to the 2023 season.
And talk a little bit more about the quarterback depth chart as we stand now. Brady Cook, big recruit with Sam Horn, now the injury, the announcement that I guess after the semester, Drew Pine's coming in. All things equal, Brady Cook has another bang-up season, and then he's off. Talk about what the idea, the vision is to get done at quarterback in spring.
Right. I think if you'd asked that question in December, the answer's a little bit different as to what it is now, and that's mainly because of the injury to their backup. For those that don't know, Sam Horn was QB2 behind Brady Cook. He's a two-sport athlete. He plays baseball. He tops out at about 95 miles an hour on the mound. Really highly rated baseball prospect as well. He's undergone Tommy John surgery in the past month here. So that's kind of thrown a wrench in the works a little bit there. They also had their backups, Jake Garcia and Jabari Johnson, a pretty talented freshman, both transferred out at the end of the year. So they've kind of lost quite a bit of depth there and quite a bit of what they were planning for the future, I think. So now they brought in Drew Pine, which experienced backup to Brady Cook. There's not going to be any changes there heading into this season. This is Brady Cook's team. I think the plan moving forward will be, let's see how healthy we can get Sam Horn. They've expressly said that they're not going to rush him back at any point. They want him to be fully healthy so that he can play on Saturdays in the fall and then go back and transition into baseball in the spring. So the plan, I think, is still to have Sam Horn transition into that starter role once Brady Cook's come and gone. Depth was a little issue for a little while there, but the commitment of Drew Pine should help them in the immediate.
Okay, I'm going to jump out to the perimeter and talk Luther Burden, and I'm going to sound so unappreciative, but no, he does plenty, and I mean that. But if you remember, like, Todd Gurley at Georgia, every time Georgia returned to kickoff and it wasn't Todd Gurley, I was like, you're wasting him. Do they have ideas to let him return more or carry the ball more? Because he really hadn't carried the football very much at all after his first couple of games.
I think that remains to be seen. Their punt returns left a lot to be desired last season. They have a lot of good options behind them, behind Luther Burden as well. They've got a really talented, really quick, speedy guy called Marquise Johnson who went for a couple last year. So I think they're experimenting a little bit on that front. You also have to factor in maybe we don't want Luther get hurt on any of these plays because he's so important to the rest of the offense. So I think they're experimenting a little bit there. We've seen a couple of different options in spring camp with the likes of Marquise Johnson and Daniel Blood, another wide receiver. So we'll see where they head in that direction as the offseason progresses.
All right, flip it around to defense if you could, because that's all new, or at least it's going to be a lot new. They've got studs going to the draft at all three levels. They lost the DC. Talk about the new day on defense in Columbia.
Yeah, I think it's 8 starters, 10 guys that took significant reps, all gone. So they're pretty much undergoing a complete overhaul along the defensive line, bar one returning starter. Their linebackers are new-ish. The two guys that were the starters last season are both out of eligibility or off to the draft. But the two players that started the Cotton Bowl are both returning there, so not too much of an issue. And then in the secondary, you look at their two star corners, Chris Abrams-Drain and Ennis Rakestraw, are both going to go on to the NFL. They've lost a starting safety. A lot to replace, but the way that they worked the defense last year, there was so much rotation. Blake Baker, who's now off to LSU, a lot of rotation there, getting a lot of young guys involved. I think maybe in lieu of what was about to come in the 2024 season, they've got a lot of good commits. They've dipped into the portal pretty successfully. I would imagine they'll maybe jump back in for a linebacker here or there, but I think that they feel pretty set with what they've got under new defensive coordinator Corey Batum.
They got the game. Boy, they put bacon grease on their schedule for spring out there in Missouri. They've got the game this Saturday. What about the thicker kicker? Because has that been shaken out? Like, is there an heir apparent everybody knows about?
Yes, yeah. His name's Blake Craig. He's a Kansas City guy. He was, if you looked last year, he was like Harrison Meavis's tail. You know, he was never more than about 5 feet away from him. I think the idea, they haven't officially named him as the guy that's going to go out and hell the kicks, but it seems pretty obvious that that's the person that they've named as Meavis's successor there. I think this is his sophomore season now. I'll need to double check that, but from what we've seen, pretty big leg. You'll have some job following what Meavis was able to accomplish in his few years here. But that seems to be the guy that they're going with.
All right. So give me your idea then, because Mizzou will be done and it'll be a month before the portal opens. I don't know. They can like watch all the games on TV. Everybody else is spring on TV if they want. Talk about the shopping trip, because if you have scholarships available on April 15th, you can go shopping.
Right. Well, the big one was quarterback, and they've already knocked that one out with Drew Pine committing. I think that they'll run with that. They really have a lot of depth on offense. They've replenished with two transfers out at running back where they were lacking. Wide receivers, they've got more than they can handle at the moment, I think. Tight end, they seem to be moving forward with Brett Norfleet there. The old line, I think they're quite happy with. Maybe they might dip in and have a look at somebody to fill in at right guard. The big one for me, though, is linebacker. I think they do need, when you look beyond Chuck Hicks and Tristan Newsome, the guys that started the Cotton Bowl for them, there's just a lack of returning depth there. They managed to get Corey Flagg out of Miami, who's played, I think, 42 career games. So that's good. But you really want a fourth guy in that rotation there somewhere. So I could see them jumping in and maybe trying to pull somebody there. I think that'll probably be at the top of their shopping list.
I don't mean to throw you a curveball. You can just answer yes or no. I don't know how far back your knowledge goes. Are you aware that Missouri used to be like really, really good at men's basketball?
You mean this isn't the only season in men's basketball ever?
What's the fan base around there? If you just comment just like on the vibe of the fan base, because that's a proud like heritage fan base for basketball, and they're about as bad as they are as bad as you can be. They took an offer in conference.
Yeah, I think everybody's experienced some aftershock right now. You come in with the Dennis Gates era, year one, taking them to the tournament when they were down in the dumps for a while there. I mean, it really, really, really was a shock to the system. They've undergone a few injuries to key players. They've had a rough go of it. They've missed on a few of the guys that they thought were going to be good fill-in players out of the transfer portal. you know, and this all a year after giving Dennis Gates doubling his contract and extending him to make sure that, you know, it's, I think with the recruiting class they have coming in, which is top five in the country right now, with what they were able to accomplish under Gates in year one, I don't see any immediate shakeup coming on that front. But man, what a weird year. Like you said, as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, I go way back. I mean, I was elementary, middle school, like Norm Stewart back in those days. Right. And brother, it was 20 wins, 20 wins, 20 wins, 20 yeah. wins, and that just ain't what it is. Hey, Callum, I always appreciate the insight, man. Good for a visit again. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's, again, expert on Missouri football, Callum McAndrew. And I can ask him about that. I can just, by observation, Heath, we don't talk college basketball, but, I mean, you remember, like, Missouri was like real good in a good conference, and they were NCAA and Sweet 16, and like it was, they're literally as bad. I said they're about as bad. No, literally, they're 0-18 in the conference this year.
Yeah, it's really hard to understand because again, they were a tournament team last year. Gates is a good coach, did good work at Cleveland State. There certainly wasn't anybody going into the season that said Missouri was just going to be dreadful. So yeah, it's. It's odd. It's very odd. I assume they will get it together next year. I certainly won't pretend to be monitoring their recruits or anything. But
oh, no.
Between what they have available, what they would have in NIL, and what Gates has shown he can do as a coach, there is no logical reason it should look like that.
And so, again, not that we talk college basketball, but it's just one of those programs. The Athletic jumps out that Missouri is, and I say now, no, Missouri's more of a football school. Well, look at the facilities. Look at the achievement. Look at... At least by brand and record books, they went to a great bowl, Cotton Bowl, and they beat one of the, I don't know, three or five best programs in the sport, Ohio State. Like, that's where they are right now. In Missouri, it was season after season after season after season. Basketball, that's what we do here. And they just had a big old swing. And I wouldn't have even mentioned this, for instance. Let's say... We were talking the spring game for Texas A&M is this Saturday. Let's say the spring game for, I don't know, South Carolina. If there were other programs that had gone 0-4 in the SEC, I would have noticed, but I probably wouldn't. Missouri was good for a few decades, a few. And so when you fall off like this and you thought that they had bounced back and maybe regained their traction, and that just wound up being a – like a one-year mirage, at least for something. Now, the good thing is you can be like I mentioned Miami last year. Miami had never been to a Final Four, and I don't think Miami had ever been to a Final Four.
Nope.
And they went into the portal, and they brought in two NBA players, like the Miami Hurricanes, not the Miami Heat. The Miami Hurricanes went in, and they got two transfers who were going to the NBA draft, and they're like, well, why don't you come here for about 5 months? And they're like, cool, Final Four. So you can do it. And in basketball, whoo, way more affordable. So I told you, there are programs, it's already happened. I've talked in advance, we mentioned, like, it really looks like the finances here. That's why programs have quit college football. Like, Vanderbilt's now spending. Good for them. That's the outward trappings. You know what that's? Major League Baseball sent the Marlins a letter about, I don't know, 15 years ago. You have to start spending money. Marlins like, okay. Vanderbilt? With all the headlines being only about millions and even billions, Vanderbilt's like, all right, we got to start spending some money. So for the first time since it was either 82 or 83, they're now renovating. And all of Nashville is under construction, but particularly around Vanderbilt. And so that's going to get resolved, and they're spending money. They're still not trying to win in college football, and they don't have to. We actually had I'm trying to remember who we were talking to. And we were talking about the budgets at schools, and that a national championship college football budget, that athletic department, I don't know, what are they spending on football? $200 million? Maybe at Vanderbilt, to win a national championship in baseball, you're spending between 20 and 25. So it's way, 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 and you know what Vanderbilt does, by the way? They win national championships in baseball. So, and they get the best players, and they become first-round draft picks, and then David Price is wearing a black cap with a gold V on it, and he said, I'm stroking a check to pay for the new Commodore's right field fence. Baseball, that's different. I can do this in baseball. Football, it's way too expensive. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap up hour one next.
back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I'm going to work just as hard wherever at that job versus this job. So if I'm going to work just as hard, why would I not want to put myself in a position where we can be at a different level for the years to come, that we'll be able to have certain resources through the Big Ten multimedia rights. We'll have a certain schedule.
It takes what it takes. Basically what Jeff Fish is saying, that I am a head coach of a college football program, and as such, here is the long list of things, whether it is Furman, whether it is Tulsa, whether it's Washington Huskies. Now, it becomes a lot more scrutinized, and there may be more of those types of events that you say no to. But as far as doing the job, yeah, the job's the job. And he says, so if I'm going to put out the exact same amount of effort, hours, etc., In this case, I could have stayed at Arizona and we'd be in the Big 12, or I could be at a higher level in the Big 10 and coaching at Washington. So, yeah, that's. I don't know why he would necessarily need to explain that, but he did. And their first season in the Big 10, it looks like a bunch of non-conference games that somebody just spilled out onto a new team schedule. When you look at Michigan, and particularly Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State, and how they dot the schedules of, for instance, Washington, Oregon, and USC. Even the UCLA brand showing up, it's a pretty big deal. Northwestern, not as much. They do have a non-conference game against Washington State, and boy, that thing is... it's about to be, I mean, I don't want to overstate this, but Washington State is hoping for an association with a bunch of schools who are G5 level. That's kind of what they're hoping for. And we'll brand it as whatever we brand it as. They're hoping for an association that SMU was willing to take 9 years of no money to flee. So that's where Washington State is. There are sometimes we look back on traditionally played rivalries and go, yeah, that's out of place. Like, are we aware, like, Tulane and LSU? That was an every year sort of thing. And if you go back to the 40s, was a competitive, like, really competitive thing. LSU and Tulane, they can still play if you want, but it's not this big, giant, in-state required thing anymore, at least not to LSU. Washington and Washington State, do we realize, like, they were literally shoulder to shoulder because they're in the same state and in the same conference, getting the same money and whatever else. Now, they were achieving at different levels, but, I mean, all things were equal. Yeah, they were equal. Washington took an express elevator up to Conference 1A, and Washington State's looking around going, just us and the Beavers. So, this must play in state. See, this is how it happens, folks. This is how you wind up looking at something that used to happen every single season and go, not as much. There was a time when Miami was taking a vote to stop playing football. Tampa took a vote and they voted, yes, we'll stop playing football. And so there are all kinds of, it used, really, y'all used to play? Yes, every year. And you're talking to like a 35-year-old who has no recollection at all. Washington State, they are toeing the line, folks. They are about to stop doing the same thing, like not trying to really do the same thing. If Southern Cal and San Diego State had played every year through 1975, guess what? USC and San Diego State, they don't do the same thing now. And so that's not a real, in-state, got to play it. No, you don't. That's the kind of, like, we're looking at this with Washington Wazoo. What's up, Heath?
So there's a story that I think is kind of interesting. Not everybody who listens to the Chuck Oliver Show will fully understand this one. So just to quickly explain, Barstool Sports is a media company, targets the male demographic, typically towards the younger end of the male demographic. So, again, if you're not somebody who spends a lot of time on the internet, you might not realize how big a deal Barstool Sports is with that demographic. they have been involved in college sports for a while now. They were active when NIL became a thing. They said, we're going to have Barstool athletes. And over the years, Barstool has had some controversial content. So there were some people who kind of said, hey, is it good for schools to allow their athletes to associate with Barstool as a brand? But the reality is it's name, image, and likeness. The schools can say you can't have gambling content, but they can't say you can't have a media company we're not really super crazy about.
You know, we don't like the taste.
Yeah, it's not like they make adult films or something. It was edgy, but not that kind of content where a school could really say no. So first they got involved with that. Then, Chuck, they sponsored a bowl game multiple years. Again, this is a young brand, a lot of money, very successful brand. They appear to be back in a way now from at least college football. I don't know. They've sponsored some basketball events, too. I don't know if they're going to keep doing any of that. But they've said apparently they're going to drop the sponsorship of the bowl game. They did the broadcast themselves along with CW, and I guess they didn't feel like they got what they wanted out of it. And yesterday, word coming down, they're going to also show off their NIL platform. They had not only been doing their own NIL deals, but also trying to facilitate basically, hey, if you're a brand that works with us, we'll try and connect you with the athletes, and you guys can work together. I think this is interesting because, again, this is a young media company that was one of the more aggressive brands in this field, and the fact they're backing away completely, that gets your attention a little bit.
Yeah, it should, and other collectives shutting down, and we are towing the line to a brand-new era of name, image, likeness as well.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.